Tonight we're going to look at this great subject, Jesus Christ, our example. We have a motto in this church that has developed, and that is lead by example. And that's the only way that you can ever teach anybody anything worthwhile, is to lead by example. And my dear old dad always led by example. And he taught me so much, even though I was illiterate as a child. He taught me because he led by example. In my early Christian life, my greatest hurts came to me from Christian people until I learnt a great truth and a great lesson that Jesus Christ is my example. And Jesus Christ is our example. And the writer to the Hebrews states four significant words, and they are a beautiful illustration as to what example means. Consider him that endured. Yes, consider the preparations that were necessary for his earthly ministry. Indeed, we must consider the principles of Christ's ministry. What are they? Also, we need to consider the practice and the reality of his devotional life. But most of all, we must consider tonight the power of his cross. And in Hebrews 12:2, the writer says, looking unto Jesus, the author. That's where we begin to find the example, because he is the beginner of our faith. And beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ should not only be the one who begins our faith in our hearts, but be the one who is the example of our faith. And he should be the example which we are to follow. And young people, I want to say this to you as I'll say it to the older people. Never, ever follow a preacher. Never have as your idol a preacher, like some people have as an idol those who are singers in the rock groups and whatever. The only person to follow is Jesus Christ. For a few moments tonight, I want to consider Jesus Christ as our example. And I want to go back to Mark's gospel. In theological terms, it's called the source Q. And most of the other writers of the Gospels take most of their material from Mark. But in Mark chapter 1 and verses 9 through 14, we see the baptism of repentance. And verse 9 says, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Now I ask you tonight, what was John's baptism? It was a baptism of repentance. But it's not until we cross-reference the scripture with Matthew 3:15 that we see that Matthew goes a little further and says that Christ's baptism was to fulfill all righteousness. And beloved, in this public example, we have a beautiful picture of the abandonment of sin. You see, this baptism of repentance openly declared that he would have nothing to do with sin. Oh, yes. He is the sinless Son of God, and in this baptism of repentance, he declares himself to be so. And God the Father tells John that Christ is the beloved Son in whom he is well pleased. And then in verse 10 of Mark 1, we also see the equipping of the Holy Spirit in Christ's earthly ministry. The scripture says, straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending on him. Now, when you and I became a son or a daughter of God in Christ, we too were equipped for our Christian life by the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 11 of Mark 1, we hear the commission of God the Father to God the Son. There came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Here we have a quotation from Psalm 2, verse 7, referring to the Messiah King. And one great scholar puts it like this. God the Father uses the coronation formula for the King of Kings and the ordination rite for the suffering sin bearer. He was talking about royalty. He was talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then they hear the confirmation. Thou art my Son in whom I am well pleased. And this confirmation tells us that after the ordination there came the testing in the wilderness. And immediately, Mark says, the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And then after the testings in the wilderness, there comes, if you like, seeing many of you have graduated, you have sat for your exams, and some of you have graduated. And I remember vividly many years ago, this time of the year, when it was graduation time in the theological college. But after the testings in the wilderness, there comes their triumphant graduation service. And many of you know what it's like to be in that graduation service, to feel as though you have accomplished, by the grace of God, all that has been set before you. And as I look at my blessed Lord tonight, I see that one moment he was tempted and tested, as verse 14 of Mark 1 says. And then I read that he returns in the power of the Spirit. There was a triumphant graduation service, even there in the wilderness. I have stood on the very ground where the wilderness temptation took place. And no wonder the writer to the Hebrew urges us to consider him that endured. And in this gospel meeting tonight, the Bible clearly teaches how we are to follow Christ's example. Firstly, by repentance. That is, to have done with sin in all of its forms. And then secondly, to be equipped by the Holy Spirit. That is, to let the Holy Spirit, who regenerated our soul, let him take full control of our personality. And then thirdly, we are to accept the commission of God the Father for our lives. And in doing so, we are to accept the testings that come. And beloved, it is not until you get into the university of God, it is not until you get into the school of learning with the Holy One, it is not until you go through the testings and all of the ordeals that there are in learning, that you appreciate the triumphant graduation service that becomes yours in Christ. And beloved, I urge you to consider him that endured. For he is our example. He is the only example. You see, the Bible tells us much about the principles of his life as it does about his devotional life. Verse 14 of Mark 1 says that Christ preached the word of God, and for Christ the preaching of the word of God had top priority. After John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel. The miracles and healings, as great as they were only short term. But the proclamation of the word of God was long term. And Mark in his gospel also tells us that Christ was selective in choosing his assistants. And in doing so, he clearly defined good leadership by example. When I was traveling Australia as an evangelist in many other parts of the world, I had the privilege of speaking to Rotary and many other organizations. But one of the greatest moments in my life was to speak to the Swap Club. Salesmen with a purpose. They have a 6 o'clock breakfast, and you have to be right on your toes at 6 a.m. in the morning. And I remember down in Tasmania, in Launceston, speaking to the Swap Club there. Here were all these brilliant, learned businessmen who had learnt all the Dale Carnegie course. They had learnt many other courses that had equipped them for the business world. Or their motto was, lead by example. But what kind of an example did they have to lead by? And I remember after I had spoken on the subject, the most destructive thing in the world is the competitive spirit. One man stood up and he challenged me, and he said, what you had to say this morning is quite irrelevant. To which I replied, I said, sir, tell me, do you have a happy marriage? I said, do you have any teenagers on drugs? And he buried his head in his hand. And I said, sir, you might be a successful business salesman, but in my humble opinion, you're a total flop as a father and a husband. You see, our Lord was very selective. Why was he selective? Because he wanted to clearly define leadership by example. And then our Lord, by example, revealed to us that he was obedient to his heavenly Father in all of his heavenly Father's plans. Christ said in John 8:29, I do always those things that please him. And what do I see there in that verse of scripture? I see obedience. And beloved, obedience, cost what it may, was the principle of the ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. Obedience, cost what it may, is the principle of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved people, I beg of you to consider him, that endured. For when I consider the practice of Christ's devotional life, I see that his deep knowledge of the scripture always was the source of information for his ministry. There was the daily and continuous attitude of prayer. Some nights, all night in prayer. Beloved, when you and I are too busy for prayer and Bible study, we are too busy. And the writer to the Hebrews reminds us in verse 2 with these words regarding Christ's example, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Quickly we come to the culmination of his example and we see it in the power of the cross. And the example from the cross that I want to share with you tonight, three examples. There are many, but beloved, let me say to you that the cross is the place of eternal salvation. Let me also say to you that the cross is the place of practical holiness. And let me also say to you that the cross is the place of power for sins. When I look at the cross and I look at the place of eternal salvation, I am reminded by the words of the writer to the Hebrews that Christ endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. What joy was it? There are many illustrations that I could have brought to you tonight, but just briefly I brought to you Luke 50, of the good shepherd and the lost sheep. And in that story we do not read of any concern on the part of the lost sheep. You see, the lost sheep is lost, but the shepherd was concerned, and when he finds the sheep he rejoices. And then in Luke 15 Christ made this profound statement, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. What was he referring to when he made that profound statement? He was referring to the cross as the place of eternal salvation. Because he knew that the very angels in heaven would be rejoicing. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross for you and for me. Christ loved you. He loved you enough to die for you. That is why the cross is the place of your eternal salvation. If you are an unsaved person, may I plead with you to come to Jesus Christ in true repentance and confess Jesus Christ tonight as your Lord and Savior. Perhaps at this moment you're beginning for the very first time to consider him that endured. And it is when we consider him as our example that we will also acknowledge the cross as the place of holiness. Place of holiness. Or maybe you have been to the cross and you acknowledge that it is the place of your eternal salvation, but you've never gone back to the cross. Beloved, it is also at the cross where we see the example of power for service. The greatest tragedy within Christendom today is that we have become ineffective. We know the cliches. We can talk the talk, but we can't walk the walk. And primarily we do this because we do not understand the example of power for service. Could it be tonight that you have no power for service? If that be so, then consider him that endured. We're coming to the Christmas season, filled with all of its commercialism. And in some way or another, we are all going to become involved. But I wonder how many of us will consider him that endured. I wonder how many of us will look again to the cross and see that he, the Lord Christ, is our example. How many of us will acknowledge that he also led by example, and that you and I, as Christians, are called upon to lead by example. To lead by example. And beloved, we can only lead by example when He is our example. And it does not matter what comes our way in life. He is our example. Because in weakness, we're made strong in Him. Have you been to the cross for your eternal salvation? Have you? Then I beg of you tonight to go to the cross by faith in true repentance and say, Lord Jesus, I confess you. I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. If you are a Christian and you're out of fellowship, if you're a Christian who is not living by example, then I beg of you tonight to go to the cross and learn afresh the example of holiness. Holiness. We all get so very near and dear to our Lord at times. Last night when I was having a very bad bout of asthma and I couldn't sleep and I became breathless, my mind wasn't occupied with asthma. Asthma's just a physical thing. My mind was occupied with my example. Maybe you have no power in your life for service. You're not even doing anything for the Lord. You haven't won a soul to Christ. You don't even do anything for Christ. And the reason why you don't and you can't is because you have no power. I want to challenge you tonight to go back to the cross of Jesus Christ, for the cross of Jesus Christ is the place of power for service. I'm going to pray for you in a moment, and maybe as we sing the invitation hymn tonight, you will realize for the very first time that you have considered Him that endured. And maybe tonight you are saying, I want to really confess Christ. I want to urge you to step forward publicly to do that so that we can pray with you and for you. Maybe this very night you've realized that there's no power in your life. You're ineffective. The Holy Spirit indwells you. He's longing to fill you afresh with Himself. He's longing to release that power of Christ in you so that you can be effective in service. And this very night you are saying, Lord Jesus, I'm coming back to the cross because I am ineffective in my service for you. And Lord, I want to confess that. And Lord, I want you to be my example of fresh in power for service tonight. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you this very night that you have spoken to our hearts afresh. Your presence is so very real in our meeting, Lord. We feel you, your warmth. And if only the veil could be pulled back, we could see you as you really are. But Lord, the day is coming when the veil will be pulled back and we'll see you. But in the meantime, through the eye gate of faith, we can see you, the sinless one. And we can consider you because you endured all things to be our example. Help us tonight through the ministry of the Holy Spirit who glorifies you, Lord Jesus, to be honest with you tonight and to put our lives right. Or it may mean that we've got to go to the cross for our eternal salvation. It may mean that we've got to go to the cross afresh for holiness. It may mean that we've got to go to the cross afresh for the power for service. But our Father, whatever it is, oh, may it be that we truly see the Lord Christ, who is our perfect example. Amen. Lovely old hymn we're going to sing tonight, 439. Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin, as he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. He's drawing you tonight to himself. You come. You come. As we sing.